Chapter 34.
Feldo had planted caches of javelins all around Marshank. In the half-shadowed world of twilight, he was like a phantom. Two sentries hung over the wall, slain by his accurate throwing. Inside the fortress, another one had been slain, and three lay wounded.
"More pesky burying for me to do in the morning,"
Salmon Clogs snorted as he peered out from under his wheelbarrow.
"Strike me! If I waits long enough, I'll have Marshank alone to myself, because I'll be the only beast left living here."
Badrang paced the floor of his badly charred longhouse. Several prominent horde figures sat in silence as he ranted angrily.
"We're not dashing out into the night to get picked off like flies. That's what those slaves want. I'm not going to fight on their terms. I'll do it my way when the time's right."
Crosstooth played with a dagger, twirling it deftly.
"You're right, sire. I've told every beast to keep under cover. Them that gets hurt or slain, 'tis their own fault."
Slamming himself down in his chair, the tyrant gulped wine. The weasel Lumpback unwisely voiced an opinion.
"But if we don't fight back, they've got us pinned down. They'll start thinking we're frightened of them and begin attacking harder."
Badrang hurled the wine jug. Lumpback scarcely had time to duck as it smashed on the wall behind him, covering the hapless weasel with pottery shards and damson wine. Badrang's teeth were bared as he hissed at Lumpback.
"Who asked you, dirt brain? I don't need the thoughts of idiots and half-wits to do my planning for me. Maybe you'd like to get out there and face them yourself."
Boggs felt sorry for Lumpback. He could see it would only take a sudden whim for Badrang to send the weasel out on the shore alone.
"Go easy, Lord. He was only saying..."
"Easy!"
Badrang's face flushed dark with rage as he stood and threw the chair over.
"Go easy, you say, while a stinking pool full of slaves are holding Marshank and an entire horde under siege?"
Whipping out his sword, he leaped at the group.
"Get out of here! Go on, out of my sight, you mindless, mud-crawling morons! You're about as much use as a one-winged gull!"
Yelling and shouting, they scrambled over each other to avoid the flailing blade and get out of the door. Feldo came out from behind a rock, his keen ears twitching as he pinpointed the sounds of the scuffle. With remarkable precision, he quickly sent off two javelins, one after the other. Lumpack was last to leave. He had been dodging the swordplay as Badrang chased him. With a yell, he dived out of the open door, straight into Feldo's first javelin. Badrang slammed the door shut quickly. Throck! Feldo's second javelin pierced the half-burned timbers. The weapon came right through, stopping a hair's breadth from the tyrant's bloodshot eyes. Badrang slashed with his sword, chopping the javelin in two pieces. Flinging back his head, he roared out into the gathering night.
"Snakes! Cowards! I'll chop you into fish bait if I catch ya!"
"Come on out then, stoat face!"
Feldo's deep voice boomed back from the shore.
"Two can make fish bait!"
"Scum!"
Badrang yelled back at his unseen foe.
"I'll fix you good and proper when the time is right!"
"Scum yourself, yellow belly! Hide in your fort, I know you're scared!"
"Scared? Me? I am Badrang, lord and tyrant of all these lands! No beast can stand against me! I was killing and fighting while you were still clinging to your mother's tail!"
Feldo had got a fix on the voice. Three javelins in swift succession burst through the longhouse door. Another one thudded into the roof. Badrang lay flat behind his upturned chair, gripping the wood tightly to stop himself trembling.
"Ah! Missed me! Pity you can't throw those things straight!"
"Don't worry. I've got all night to practice. Don't go to sleep now."
Gathering his javelins, Feldo slid off into the night, leaving behind a very worried stoat. Peering through a crack in the gate, Tram and Clog saw the shadowy figure hurry off south toward the cliffs.
"Ha! 'Twas I reckoned. Only one beast. Well, I'd best get me sleep. No use trying to tell his lordship he's safe to have a bit of shut-eye. He wouldn't take the word of a slave."
Away in the safety of the cliff tops, Balor sat watching the gloomy little groups of creatures sitting around the campfire. All day long the mood had been heavy among them. The hare finished sipping cider from a scallop shell and made his way over to where the rambling rosehip players lounged about by the cart.
Evening, chaps and chapesses, what? My, my, you lot look like a pile of frogs that's been to a rock-swallowing party. No wonder our chums are looking glum if an entertaining troupe can't smile.
Brome smiled wanly at the garrulous hare.
What do you want us to do?
Balor twiddled his long ears cheerfully.
That's the spirit, young Brome, milado. I'll tell you what I want you all to do. Bring a bit of cheer into those creatures' sad little lives. A laugh, a smile, and a song. Let's do a show.
Celandine fluttered her eyelids and cooed.
What a lovely idea. You'll have to wait until I've got myself ready, though, Balor. Deary me, I must look an absolute fright.
Fright?
Balor tickled her under the chin.
You, my pretty one, never. You look abso-bally-lutely gorgeous. Come on, you apprehensive actors. The show's tonight.
The audience sat shaking with laughter, their eyes shining in the firelight, the day's troubles temporarily forgotten as they watched the antics of the rambling rosehip troupe. Roanoke braced a huge back as Gouchy, Caston, Trefoil and Buckler formed a pyramid on it. Buckler stood highest on top of Trefoil's head. Balor swirled a floppy cloak as he placed a scrap of material on the ground and called to the audience.
Pray silence. Please, no tittering or throwing objects whilst this dangerous trick is in progress. Malcolm the Magnificent Mole will dive from a very great and perilous height onto this damp cloth. Ladies and gentle beasts, I present Malcolm the Magnificent Diving Mole.
There was a round of applause. Buckler, dressed in a baggy costume and wearing a curly black moustache, took a wobbly bow from on top of the pyramid and announced dramatically,
I be ready and willing to die, and my wages be a custard pie.
Dressed in a spangled gown, Celandine paraded, showing the audience a huge custard pie.
Oh, dive, my loved one, my dear. I have your wages here.
Well, hurry up. My back's killing me.
Roanoke roared out in mock agony. Balor did an elegant bow in the badger's direction.
Do not worry, madam. Your face has been killing me for years, let alone your back. Keep quite still now. Malcolm, are you ready?
I be ready to dive from this girt high place onto a damp cloth.
Balor drummed his footpaw on a small tambourine.
We will not be responsible for small infants and nervous folk who faint during this death-defying performance.
Fuffle leaped up and pulled Roanoke's stubby tail.
Ho! Get on with it.
Roanoke tried to stand up and the pyramid collapsed. Amid loud laughter, the troop lay on the ground pretending to be stunned, whilst Buckler appeared with the damp cloth balanced on his nose. He struck out as if swimming.
I did it. I helped some beast afore I drowned. I can't swim.
Celandine ran forward, holding the custard pie and calling sweetly.
Oh, save him, someone. Don't let poor Malcolm drown before he's had his custard pie.
Fear not, fair maid. I will save the poor lad, for I can dive like a duck and swim like a rock.
Balor ran to the rescue. Celandine tripped and fell beautifully. The custard pie sailed through the air, and Caston caught it, just as Balor whipped the damp cloth from Buckler's nose. He waved it dramatically.
Saved! Saved from a fate worse than tummy ache!
The flapping cloth hit Caston in the face. She let go of the pie, and it splattered all over Buckler's head. The audience fell about, holding their sides and hooting with laughter. Buckler bowed.
Here am I, Malcolm, completely disgusted. Stead of water, I've been drowned in custard.
From the edge of the firelight, Feldo watched the performance. Barkjohn suddenly noticed his son sitting next to him.
What a good show, Feldo. Where did you come from, son?
Feldo kept his gaze on the performers, smiling as he clapped his paws together.
I've been here all the time. Funny, wasn't it? Cheers you up to see some beast taking a tumble, eh, Dad?
His father was about to reply when Feldo pointed.
Oh, look out! Here comes young Brome. I wonder what he and Balor are up to.
As they began the next act, Barkjohn looked strangely at his son and murmured in his ear.
Yes, and I wonder what you've been up to.
Brome sat banging a large drum. Boom, 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 boom. Balor appeared from behind the cart in a long nightgown and a tasseled nightcap. He yawned, stamping his paw bad-temperedly.
I say, what do you think you're doing, banging that thing all night, you young rip? I'm trying to sleep.
Brome continued to bang the drum vigorously. Boom, 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 boom.
I'm practicing for the Periwinkle Parade.
Balor wriggled a paw in his ear over the drum noise.
The Waterwinkle Hooray, did you say?
Brome banged the drum louder as he shouted.
The Periwinkle Parade, you silly fool!
Balor wriggled paws in both ears as if to hear better.
The pretty pink snail in a slippy pool?
Brome continued banging as Balor turned to the audience.
What did he say?
The Periwinkle Parade, you silly fool!
Oh, I see! The gritty pig's tail of a swilly cool.
The audience roared out as Brome banged even louder. Balor shook his head. Grabbing Brome's paw, he halted the noise.
Listen, you young rogue. I'll give you a cream pudding if you stop that banging. Is it a bargain?
Brome smiled foolishly.
Done! Where's the cream pudding then, flop ears?
Balor produced a big knife.
Inside the drum. It's all yours if you stop that beastly banging.
Still smiling foolishly, Brome cut the drum skin wide open and poked his head inside. There was a moment's silence. Then he called out.
Hey, lanky paws! There's no cream pudding in here!
Balor did a huge wink at the audience and grinned wickedly.
Oh, isn't there? What a jolly old shame. Ah, well, I'm off for a nice long sleep, 'cause I'm playing my drum tomorrow in the Periwinkle Parade, you know. Good night.
Gouchy walked up, holding a lantern.
Good night, Mr. Balor.
Balor shuffled past her.
Good night, Mrs. Gouchy. Oh, don't forget and leave my big drum out for me in the morning. I'm playing in the Periwinkle Parade.
Gouchy threw a paws up.
Oh, corks, I'd forgotten all about that, Mr. Balor. I'd better go and get your drum back off young Master Brome. I lent it to him to practice on.
Balor clapped a paw to his head and collapsed in a faint. Gouchy turned to Brome.
Leave that silly old drum with Mr. Balor and come in for your supper. I've made you a nice cream pudding, Master Brome.
Tullgrew, Keeler and Baby Fuffle leaned on each other, the tears coursing down their cheeks as they tried to stop laughing. Purslane was shaking with laughter herself as she swept Fuffle up in her paws.
Come on, Mischief. Time for bed. Are you coming, Groot?
Purslane's husband, Groot, was saying his good nights to the others. He passed Feldo at the edge of the firelight.
Good night, Feldo. It's nice to see you smiling again.
The strong squirrel patted Groot's back as he passed.
Yes, it was a very good night altogether.
Brome had been watching Feldo. He was rather puzzled by the squirrel's jolly mood. The young mouse lay down to rest near the campfire embers, next to Keeler and Tullgrew.